Okay. Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you, Lord. Lord, we ask for help in our walk with you. Thank you, Father, for that help. We thank you, Lord, for placing in us great and bold faith to believe that you are taking all the idols out of our heart. Not only that, Lord, you're taking everything that's displeasing to you from us. And Father, we thank you for your cleansing power to show us, Lord, the things that we need to work on, to have you work on. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us all into that great one accord with you, Lord. That's where we want to be. We want to be in that one accord with you. Let all our hearts be tuned in to the Lord Jesus Christ. And place that heart of Jesus in each and every one of us, Lord. That the love of the word would far exceed our desires of the flesh. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. Thank you, Lord, that everybody's come together here excited. Because you're going to be the one in charge. Lead us, Lord. Guide us. Set a watch before our lips to speak only the things that you'd have us to speak, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do this night in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Go ahead, Dave. I don't know why we can't hear you, but we can't hear you. Maybe this is with the Lord. I don't know, but you need to speak. we can't hear you, bro. Yeah, there you go. Go ahead and pray. Pray hard, brother. Yeah, everybody needs a lip read. We're going to practice our lip reading with Dave. I don't know. Is something wrong with you? You're muted or something? Okay. I'm going to write that down, Greg. Okay, Dave, did you ever get it fixed? He's frozen time. Yep, there he goes. Flipped him off with a flick of the wrist. All right, who's got a prayer request or praise report so we can mark some of these prayer requests from last week or Tuesday night off? Yeah, Greg, go ahead, bro.
This is one I've sort of been, for some stupid reason, been delaying a bit. And there's nothing terribly major. But just before we started the fast, I was actually, I actually have a head start on everybody, but because I was fasting and praying with a friend in LA. Basically for her, she had a hip pain and stuff like that, but I added into it, I had a shoulder that was just it was just niggly when I reached up, and also my wrist, my left wrist, something's, you know, was going on there. The shoulder for me is it's okay now, and the wrist is, you know, it's because nothing major, but the fact that I've been reminded a few times and have put it off or not brought it up for prayer, I thought, well, I'll get it in now.
What's wrong with your wrist?
nothing other than a niggling discomfort, which has really diminished this morning, mind you. I don't know. If I went to a doctor, all he'd do is, diagnose something and prescribe some chemicals for me to take. And I think, no, I'm not doing that, But yeah, it works fine. And it's just a kneeling thing there that it's just not shifting quickly. And I don't like that.
Okay. Let me pray for it. Can I pray for it?
You can, absolutely.
In the name of Jesus, we command that discomfort off of Greg's wrist to go right now in Jesus' name. He's a child of the living God, and he don't have to put up with it, and we're not either. In the name of Jesus, pain, go. Discomfort, go, and don't come back. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, that Greg is healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, too.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
I try it again.
What's that, Dave?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear. No, I can't hear you. No, go ahead. Go ahead, bro.
All right. I want to pray for a woman at work. Her name's Leslie. And it's not for her, but it's for her family. Now, Leslie has just started to come to the Lord. I gave her a few books. Another lady was talking to her. I was just kind of trying to warn her away from going to any church. Just, get to know the Lord on your own, read your Bible. Gave her Sovereign God and Perfection in Christ. And what is that other one? I'll think of it in a minute. Anyways, I gave her 3 books and I told her to start with Sovereign God. But she's on this side of the state, and actually her relatives are over by Vinta, over by in Flint area. And her mom, I guess, has just gone through chemo, and she's kind of like recovering, and she's 78, but she still needs help. And she has another sister that's in the hospital over there that's on a respirator in the hospital, and she's got some other issues, and I guess she's on a colostomy, and she is kind of bedridden. She can't get out of the hospital, and she needs to get out of the hospital. And then she has one other sister there that's actually taking care of the both of them and doing what she can, but this sister is also in her legs swelling up. And she has kind of a background similar to mine a little bit, that her father had a bar, my dad had a bar. So the whole town was a drinking town, and she, it's one of those messy family things where it's just the alcohol is taking its toll. And, but they're kind of a Catholic background a little bit. So they have a little bit of understanding about Christianity, but they don't necessarily have a fullness of it. So I want to pray for these people, because I know it's just Satan that's, ravaging their lives right now and probably under the curse. So I just want to bring them into the kingdom with prayer. And if I can, I want to cast off these symptoms that are on these 3 ladies, so that they can get their health back, so they can come into the Lord and get to know them. Have Leslie be a fire for that. But like it is, Leslie's on this side of the state, and they're on the other side of the state. She's saying, well, if these things don't get better, she'll have to quit her job and go back home, take care of everybody there. And I says, okay. So name of Father. Father, will come to you, and I bring up Leslie, her sister Colleen, Patty, and her mom Patricia. That their problems are, but Lord, at the same time, we're coming together in faith for this family, because we see Satan coming against them in a heavy way, bringing sickness on their family, bringing disease and this curse that's coming over their family. Lord, we know part of this is ignorance of your word, ignorance of you, ignorance of the salvation that they just don't have, that they need. They know about you, but they don't know the fullness, the completeness of the gospel. So, Lord, I'm coming to you, and I'm asking for your grace on this family, that you would, through Leslie and others there that are around them in the hospital or wherever these people are at, they can hear the full good news, understand the gospel, send messengers there to enlighten them. Lord, have grace on them. And we're going to cast off Satan right now, bind him that he cannot do any more damage, that he's limited. He cannot function in this family right now until they get the full understanding of what it is their rights are, so they can stand by faith with us. And but right now I'm standing in faith for them. So I'm binding you, Satan, for what you're doing to this family. I do not allow you to continue. You cannot cause any more sickness in this family. The sister that's in the hospital is going to get well. She's going to come off that respirator. She's going to breathe well. She's going to be able to come out of the hospital alive and well. The mother's going to be able to come out of bed. She's going to be able to take care of herself. She's going to have a desire to live, Father, instead of a desire for death. We're going to take that spirit of death off her. And the other sister with a swollen leg, we command that swelling to go down now in the name of Jesus, to go away, to give them all confidence, renewed life, and understand it's coming from you, Father, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And I ask the blessed Leslie, because she, at the time, this is a very trying time for her to think about these things and not be able to do much about it. So, Lord, give her the peace and comfort that she needs. Don't let Satan rob her of the time she needs with you, because this is just an attack on her to keep her from getting into the gospel and the rest of the family. So thank you, Father, for hearing this prayer. Amen.
Yeah. Can I pray for him also today?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, Lord, it looks to me like Satan's got a hold of this whole family. In the name of Jesus right now, I break the power of Satan on this family right now in Jesus' name, and I declare and decree every one of them come into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for granting repentance to them, and I thank you, Father, once they're in, that you just sweep through that family with your healing power. And I praise you for it, Father, because I know you can do it. We don't have any limits on you, and we just thank you for it, Father. Just like Dave said, we just praise you, Father, that every one of them are healed, delivered, set free, brought into the kingdom, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whew! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jay, Dave.
Thank you, Michael.
Amen. Well, hey, Vanita, is that Frank? What's up, Frank? Lord of God, thank you, Jesus. How you doing, brother?
This is my son, Nick.
Oh, okay. I missed that one, didn't I? Well, you look so young, Vanita.
Yep, I have two kids. He's my oldest.
Okay. What's his name?
His name is Nick.
Spell it.
N-I-C-K, Nick. Nicholas.
Oh, Nick. Okay. All right. Hey, Nick. What's up, brother?
Good.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have a good time tonight. Y'all just hang on. It's going to be awesome. Go ahead, Lana.
I just wanted to share a praise report. A couple of weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, we were out at Theo's parents' property doing fall cleaning. So that meant we were cleaning up the garden, tearing down old tomato plants, hauling all that stuff away. And so I decided I had enough energy to attack the gone wild mint patch, which was still fresh and green and hanging onto the ground. And so I went to work, and I mean, I was digging up the roots and I was chasing it down because, I mean, you know, mint, it grows like a weed. And as I was working away, my mother-in-law, being a, you know, just by nature, as many are out there, Lana, you need to stop tomorrow. You are not going to recognize yourself. Your back is going to hurt so badly. You're going to be so sore. You are not used to this kind of labor. And I said, Mom, I reject that. Because I remember from the teaching earlier that week that, Michael, I think it was you who said that we need to proclaim the word of God if we have the opportunity to. And she just didn't get it. She's like, I know what I'm talking about. This is the natural reaction. I'm not trying to, you know, curse you or something. I said, Mom, I don't accept it. That's it. And I just left it at that. And praise be to God. I think it was like lunchtime the next day when I realized no sore muscles, no back pain, no nothing. So praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mama, wrong again. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't throw it back at her, Mama. I know you didn't do that.
No.
Okay. All right.
I haven't had a chance to share, but I'm sure she'd be delighted.
Okay. That's a good testimony. That's a great testimony. Yeah. Like you said, praise God. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Rhea. You going to sneak one in, are you, brother?
Yes, I'm going to sneak one in. I got chased out of my office because I'm doing work in my office. So I just went out for a walk week and I've been listening in. But just a quick praise report. A couple of weeks ago, we prayed for a man at my work named Robbie Button. I don't know if you can remember that. He was going through a what looked at that point as an unfair dismissal that they were trying to do against him. And we all prayed that he wouldn't lose his job. And yesterday I heard that that happened. Like, he didn't lose his job. He might just be demoted, I think, to a lesser position. I don't know that for sure yet. But yeah, praise the Lord. We were able to witness to him and we let him know that we prayed and that he won't lose his job. And I haven't spoken to him yet. So I've just heard this. So yeah, I'm really, really happy about that. So mark that off your list. Another one done.
I got it, brother. We're going to mark that one down too. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing Robbie in too. Bringing me into the kingdom in a big way.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. That's awesome.
Amen. All right. You ain't got to go back down into mine today.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No. I don't get to get dirty like that. I only go when I want to go. So I sit in the office.
Okay. All right. I don't blame you.
I sit in the office and wear ugly orange. That's what I do.
That's cold and dark down there. Isn't it? Praise Lord. Okay. Anyone else?
I'm going to share praise report too. We prayed for my sister-in-law, and I spoke with her yesterday, and she was very positive and happy. And normally we have a short conversation, but we talked for about an hour and a half. It was very good. And so I just know that the Lord did show her his love. And I just praise him for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It was really
awesome.
Thank
you, Jesus.
And,
Amen.
Yeah. And I do have I got some texts today for prayer for different people, and all of them are back in Nebraska. The first one is for a friend named Michael, and he just
I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, a different Michael.
Oh, okay.
he doesn't really know what he's facing, but so far what the doctor's kind of given him a bad report. They found a black mass in one of his lungs that they said is about the size of a grapefruit. And so they're going to have him do a PET scan next week. And I know that that's to determine if it's cancer or not, because my husband had some of those tests. And so I would just like to pray for Michael for that.
Okay.
Father, we just lift up Michael to you, and we just do not receive the bad report that the doctors are giving him. We just command that mass to dissolve and to leave his body in Jesus' name. And we thank you that he was healed at the cross, and they're not going to find anything when he goes in for that PET scan next week. Thank you, Father, for that. And I just pray that there would be no anxiety over this, and they are believers, so I know they are standing by faith that he was healed at the cross. The Lord has magnificently healed him. Another time he was a trucker and was trying to strap down a load and lost his balance and went off the truck and injured his knee really bad, and he was totally healed from that. It was torn up pretty bad, and the MRI had shown that. But when they did another one before surgery, he was totally healed. He had to have no surgery. So he is well aware that the Lord heals magnificently. Yes. And then also, Tracy texted me this afternoon. Her mother and dad are in a and I think it's an assisted living place. Anyway, her mother fell. She's getting weaker now these days, and she fell and had a 6-inch gash in her arm that took several stitches to close that up. And they're thinking on moving her to a different floor, so then she would be separated from her husband, and her would be separated. And Tracy was kind of concerned that maybe that her dad might start getting weaker, just like her mom has been doing. But we're going to believe that no, that's not going to happen, and they will not move her mom. And that we just thank you, Father, that Lola is healed, that wound will heal quickly, and she will not be moved. And we just speak strength into her body. And also for Tracy's dad as well, we just speak strength and healing for both of them. And she also wanted prayer for her daughter that is kind of in the new age thing. And she has 4 children herself, and then 2 foster children, I believe. So just like to bind up that spirit of new age that keeps wanting to come out of her mouth, so that she doesn't, just to protect those children from that and to deliver her from that as well. And her name is Lindsay. And we just thank you, Father, for what you're going to work in that you will bring truth to her. And she'll put that new age belief down in Jesus' name. And I thank you for protecting the children. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Gaynold, is that, did you say that's Tracy's daughter?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Hey,
feel free. Yeah, I do. You through?
I'm through.
Okay. Let's pray for Michael first. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind.
He got to be a fine fella. This
it was an MRI that he had that showed them that he had this large mass in his lungs. I think I didn't mention that he had had an MRI.
He's a Christian, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Okay. We're just going to believe. And we're going to declare in the name of Jesus right now, we command the black mass to leave. That's not of God. You've got to go in Jesus' name. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus. You go from Michael right now in Jesus' name, and the doctors will be mystified, and Michael B. Teller will be able to glorify God then. You'll tell them it wasn't you, doctor. It was God that did that. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Michael. Get rid of that black mass altogether in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for Michael in Jesus' name. Okay. Now, you said that Tracy's mother fell?
Yes, she did.
Okay. Is she's a Christian also?
Yes, she is. I went to some denominational church, and I'm not exactly sure which one.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, what's her name? Lola?
Lola.
Okay. Father, we lift up Lola to you. And Lord, we just ask you to meet her where she is in her faith. And just put our faith with hers, because we got great and bold faith here in this group. And we thank you, Father, that she is healed. Let's see. She fell, and what did she hurt?
She gashed, she had like a 6-inch gash in her arm.
Oh, okay. Gash in arm. And we just thank you, Father, that gash is fixed, and you're infusing her with your power, your strength in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, that Lola and her husband are going to stay together. We declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, that she's going to be healed. He's going to have strength also. And they're going to be able to carry on right where they are in Jesus' name. And we just praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, we lift up, what's the daughter's name?
Lindsay.
Lindsay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We lift up Lindsay to you. We break the power of all of these stupid demons on her right now. In Jesus' name, we cast it off of her. And Father, we thank you for opening up her spiritual eyes and her spiritual ears to hear the truth of the gospel for once, and deny and declare that she is a Christian in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that Lindsay, you're going to grant repentance to her, bring her into the kingdom, and she's going to fall right in with her mama. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And bring those children up as Christians as well, in Jesus' name. And we command Satan, you get your hands off of Lindsay right now, in Jesus' name, and those children, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for bringing her in and bringing the children in too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen and amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Boy, the Satan is going to be mad tomorrow. Amen. Yeah, amen. Okay. Is that all? Okay, go ahead, Pat.
I just had a question for Gaynold. I was tracking with some of those. Are all of those your kids?
No, those were not mine. Those are my friend's children.
Friend's children, okay. Can, hey, Michael?
Yes.
Can those children be sanctified by Gaynold's belief? I know that in a family you can, that children are sanctified.
The mama has requested the prayer. We're hooking our faiths up with Tracy and doing it with her. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a kind of a chained belief, sanctification, well, correct?
We're hooking our faith up with Tracy, Mama. Amen. And yeah, I believe I believe with all my heart that everything that we prayed tonight for Tracy and her mother and her daughter is going to come to pass very soon. In Amen. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we were just hooking our faith up with Tracy and declaring it with her.
Let's also add Tracy's son, Josh, to include him as well for salvation.
What's wrong with him? Oh, for salvation?
For salvation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Lord, we break the power of Satan off of Josh right now, in Jesus' name. We declare and decree him into the kingdom of God right now. And Lord, we thank you for granting repentance to him, bringing him in, Lord, in a mighty fine way. You're going to just bless Tracy's socks off for what's fixing to happen with all of her children coming in and her grandchildren and her mom and dad being healed and all the things that we prayed tonight, Father. We just praise you. We glorify you, Lord, because you're a good God. You're a loving God, and you want all of us to have our prayers answered. And I thank you, Father, that it's going to happen for Tracy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Okay, Barbara.
Hi. Could you pray for my daughter, Jasmine, who's also in a cult? Like, she's in a new age and a cult. Could you pray for her? And also my son, who very much has schizophrenia, and
what's his name?
John.
Oh, John. Yeah. Okay, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, both of them now have estranged themselves from me, and you know, I know it's the workings of Satan, but could you just pray to?
Yeah. Now, when I pray, we're just gonna believe from this point on, aren't we?
Right.
We ain't going to have to pray for them anymore, because we believe and we're going to stand in our faith for both of them, because we know they're coming in the name of Jesus right now. I lift up Jasmine and I break the power of the new age over her, this new age garbage. I break it right now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask and I pray that you open up her eyes and ears to see the gospel. Lord, I ask, we pray right now that the Lord of Harvest send somebody that she would listen to and John would listen to to bring them into the kingdom, Father. We thank you for that. And we believe, Lord, that you're going to do that. Of course, right now, we break the power of Satan over in Jesus' name. We break the power of paranoia, schizophrenia off of John in the name of Jesus. And John, you come into the kingdom right now in the name of Jesus. Jasmine, you come into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for granting repentance, humbling them, bringing them in, Lord. And it's going to be an awesome time with Barbara. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you, whatever happens, that Barbara won't get anxious for nothing, because she knows that they are in your hands, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's going to be some rejoicing going on here. Praise be to God forevermore.
Amen.
My, 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 my. I believe it, Barbara.
I do too. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Any, many, mighty, mo. Go ahead. Let me get Vanita first.
Well, since we're praying for daughters, if I could throw my daughter on the list too. Her name's Anjali. It's A-N-J-A-L-I. And she just moved out to Seattle. And her boyfriend's out there too, and he's not a Christian. And I just pray that she would just, I don't know, she was raised a Christian, but she's kind of listening to what he has to say and went to a liberal college, and I don't know, lots of influences are pulling her the wrong way, it feels like. So just that they're coming home for Thanksgiving, both of them are, that we would just have opportunities, and that they would just, he would become a believer.
Amen. What's his name?
Austin.
Austin, okay. All right, Lord, we lift up Anjali and Austin both to you, Lord. But first, in the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray, Father, that you put spiritual walls around Anjali, that she wouldn't take in any garbage from the world or the beast system. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would bring to her mind the things that mom and dad has taught her over the years. And we praise you for it, Father, for bringing back to her memory the things of the word. And we thank you for it. We break the power of Satan over her right now in the name of Jesus and declare her to come right on back in Jesus' name, humbled in Jesus' name. Now, we lift up Austin to you. Lord, probably a worldly man. We break the power of Satan off of him and declare and decree him into the kingdom as well. Father, we thank you for granting repentance to him, bringing him in. And Lord, when they come to visit for Thanksgiving, that he sees great peace and light in Vanita and Frank's family. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that Frank's healed too. We thank you. We believe, Lord. You know, we're a bunch of believers here, and we believe that he's healed. He's coming out of that bed of affliction in Jesus' name, and we praise you for it, Father. And, Lord, we thank you for bringing Austin and Anjali into the kingdom as well in Jesus' name. It is done in the name of Jesus.
Awesome.
Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Go ahead, Phil.
Michael, could you please pray for my friend Yuri? He doesn't claim to be schizophrenic, but he has mentioned before how he's had three different demons inside him at the same time, different times. I don't know. He's attempted his own life a few times, and the pills are keeping him down right now. But as soon as he gets off of them, it gets worse. So right now, there hasn't been an incident for a while. He's trying to find a job, but he needs to get freed from this. And
okay, what did you say his name was?
It's Yuri. Yuri.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. We can do that. We're going to pray and believe for Yuri. Father, we do. We lift up Yuri to you. Lord, he is in such torment. Father, we thank you for what you're fixing to do to him. I break the power of witchcraft off of him right now in the name of Jesus. Former Kia, you go from him in Jesus' name. I declare and decree clarity of thought in Yuri right now in Jesus' name. I command the demons to see. I bind you up, you demon of paranoia and schizophrenia, and cast you off of Yuri right now in Jesus' name. I command it to be so. Now go from him right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that he's going to fill it up with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And he'll never have this problem again in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for delivering Yuri and bringing him into the kingdom in a mighty, wonderful way, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Yuri right now. In Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Somebody else had their hand up too. Okay, Missy. Was that you, Missy? You sure that was you? You're not cutting in line, are you? Okay, go ahead. You know, I got to give you a little flack there a little bit. Go ahead.
Alex just started a job today and come to find out it's part-time. And he said it's hard to start out with a full-time job in IT information technology, or I guess in any kind of computer stuff or whatever. And so he said he's looking for another part-time job. And this job basically seems like it's a lot of flexibility. And anyway, I just... want to pray that he either gets another part-time job or is able to get a full-time job, because with part-time jobs, you don't have any benefits or anything like that. I just ask you, Lord, to give Alex wisdom in this, Lord. Help him to understand what's important and all. And I ask you to give him favor, Lord, that he would be able to get a full-time job, Lord, and that it be away from home, that he get out of the house and be around people, Lord. And thank you and praise you for this part-time job. But I ask that you... you give him favor and he see the importance of having a full-time job and not two part-time jobs, Lord. And that he not be afraid to apply for full-time jobs, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Missy, something came to me. I want you to do something. I want you to tell Alex that we prayed that he would get a good full-time job, because God's going to give it to him. If you'll be obedient in that and tell him that we prayed here on the conference call and everybody in here agreed that he's going to do it for him. I believe that's going to happen to you. Lord, we just lift Alex up to you. And we thank you, Father, that you've got a job just for him, just to show your glory to that boy in mm-hmm. Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for Amen. Doing that for Alex. And Lord, let it be a job that he'll know it had to come from God in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Theo, were you going to say something?
Yes. Huh? Is this the same person that we had spoken about with Lana? About a position with computer technology?
Yes.
So we're looking for like 4 programmers right now. Analysts, programmers. So he should apply. It's everything is full-time. There's no part-time.
Okay. And he would be entry level. He's just fresh out of college, so that wouldn't be an issue.
They'd start him out probably in a service area, but they're always hiring. So.
Okay. Now my question is, okay, and give me the name where he should apply again. You said they're looking for 4 full-time people?
Or more than, there's more than that. But the ones they're looking for are higher up, but I guarantee you the low-level people will take them. So they're going to be looking for lower people as well. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay. So my question is, would these be anyway?
It's a full-time job.
Yeah, but
right now everybody's working from home. So.
Okay. That was kind of what I was wondering about, but okay. Okay. Did you put something in the chat?
Yep.
Hey, Missy.
Yeah.
Don't forget. Tell him.
I will.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Theo. Bless you. Thank you, mm-hmm. Lord.
Go ahead, Pat.
They're coming too fast. I can't hardly write this stuff down.
I know what you're talking about, brother.
Listen, it really kind of just dawned on me. The Lord has been taking me kind of through the paces here for teaching me about, enlightening me, I think, about Christ alive in me doing the work. And my responsibility is to believe and yield to him and let him do the work. I mean, that's kind of the general thing that I've been learning. Now, just as kind of a background and for what has been happening in the last 2 weeks, the job that I'm on right now is coming to a close. And it's, we are, you know, finishing up everybody's tasks and all the trades and getting inspections. I am in construction. So we're doing a lot of, renovate, basically an internal building renovation. And we're into the stage now where everybody is kind of dragging their feet, and we're kind of pushing them out the door, so to speak, by bringing in the finishes, the flooring and the ceilings and the painting and everything, and kind of pushing these people out of the way. And it's and so therefore it gets a little hectic at the end of a project, because you're literally just pushing people out the door and throwing a heavy schedule on them to get them out. But and so everything has become just frustrating, and constant emails, calling people up and telling them how many people you got on the crew, you need more manpower, this and that. And it's just standard protocol for this whole process, it seems like. So that is happening right now. We have to basically turn over this space in another week or week and a half. So I've got all of that happening over here constantly. And then I've got my daughter and son-in-law and their family. They're coming down here for Halloween. And my granddaughter's and grandson's birthdays are in November 2nd and November 6th. So they're coming down and we're having their birthday parties at the same time, that sort of thing. It's kind of a everybody down and whatever. So number one, I don't participate in Halloween and all those things. My kids are gone, and they do that whole thing with, you know, costumes and this and that. So I need wisdom how to smooth past that. I need wisdom how to communicate the fact that that I can't eat anything. I'm not eating anything because I'm fasting through November. And so I got that whole thing coming as well. The first of the week, it was last weekend, my bathroom sink downstairs in this level of the house clogged up and overflowed into my bathroom. And so I had to get plumbers out to tear things up and get a plumber out to snake the line and this and that. So I had that whole thing. And let me just say that being in construction, I kind of end up being a jack of all trades, and I do know how to do a lot of stuff, electronics, electrical work, carpentry, blah, 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 and go down the list. And so I kind of tend to jump into things and grab it by the horns and, you know, fix a thing and keep on moving type of attitude here. But I've had a couple of these situations. Last night, my upper bathroom sink started leaking. I got in to get my shaver out, and I noticed that stuff was wet underneath my sink. And of course, I opened it up and looked in there and saw, oh, the thing is leaking. So I went down and I got, you know, to the hardware store and got washers and everything and whatever. I'm getting belaboring this whole point, but I've got stuff now that's just kind of coming in on me, and things are kind of attacking in the background, and I'm afraid I haven't handled it by what the Lord is teaching me. And that is to believe, lock onto his word, believe, and to let him work the process out. Let him do his work through me, type of thing. So this is kind of a confession, an awareness raiser. I'm at this point right now, I'm repenting from that whole tendency, first strike tendency to just jump in and grab it and start fixing it and doing it and repairing it. And so what I wanted to do is, number one, confess that as sin, confess it, and just, ask the Lord, to forgive me. I've confessed it, and I trust him that he's cleansed me from that sin. Now I want to enter into seeing the Lord, trusting the Lord to do this. So let me, I have a plastic bag right now taped on the wall underneath my sink to catch the drips that are coming down. There's a faucet is dripping, and I want to trust the Lord. I do trust the Lord right now to pray and to ask him to stop that leak on that hose. And I'm going to go up there afterwards, and I'm going to empty that thing. I'm going to tape it back on there, and I'm going to trust him that that thing is not going to fill up anymore. It's going to stop right now in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I just confess that that to you today, Lord. Tonight, you just kind of shown me through listening to everybody's testimonies that I have been standing back. I've been putting my hands onto the project. I've been dealing with all these issues. But, Lord, I need to trust you. And so I repent of that right now in the name of Jesus. I ask for your cleansing. I thank you based in your word, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I thank you for that cleansing, Lord. I ask now that you would heal that that leak under that sink, that you would heal that pipe or whatever it is that's leaking under there, a hose or whatever, Lord. I just trust you to put an angel on that and close up that leak. In the name of Jesus, I trust you, Lord. You said that if we stretch out our faith and trust you, I am confident, Lord, that you are living in me by your word. And so I confess that. I confess you, Lord. I thank you that you are healing that even as I speak. And I'm going to go up and replace that bag, empty it, and put it back there. And I trust that it will not fill up again, that you have healed that sink in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it. And I would just ask for other prayer for that, if someone could join with me as well.
Yeah, yeah. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that leak to be healed in Jesus' name. And as long as Pat lives in that house, you will not leak again in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, that when he goes back and checks it 3 or 4 months from now, not tomorrow, not the next day, but 3 or 4 months from now, because he believes your word, Lord, that thing is healed in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for placing great and bold faith in Pat to believe that you can even fix his plumbing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for signing that angel to that leak right now in Jesus' name. All right. Praise God forevermore. It's done, brother.
Amen.
He did. I think you know about that leak he fixed in my shop, so I ain't going to belay that anymore. He did it until I left. When I left, it went to leaking again. All right, Judy, go ahead.
Well, I've been sitting here thinking all these prayers are so powerful the last couple of weeks, and I really feel that they're all going to be answered. I just know that. And I was sitting there thinking, oh boy, I would love to have Angie's prayer for her nose on that list. Well, I mean, I know that it's going to happen, but I guess like a guarantee. I just felt like, oh Lord, I would just really like to have that prayer for her nose on that list. So I'm just asking for a prayer again for Angie, that her first surgery date is for December 17th. But I know that the Lord's going to take care of everything, and she's not going to have to go through any surgery. And Lord, that this will affect so many people's lives, that it will just be so awesome that everybody can see your wonderful healings. And also I wanted the Lord to take away any drinking and alcohol and smoking. It's a generation curse in the family, and that Angie will stop smoking. And also, I would like for the Lord to give me even more belief, because I've been wavering back and forth, and I can't do that. You know, oh, she's going to have the surgery. Oh, I believe she's healed. I believe, you know, I can't go back and forth. I got to just go with the Lord, because I know that he's going to do it. And Lord, I need help to really, I really believe it, you know, so I want prayer for all that.
Okay. All right. Let's do this. When we pray, Judy, you rest. It don't make any difference what Angie says. It doesn't make any difference what the doctor says. It doesn't make any difference what this one says or that one says. Don't get in doubt and unbelief. Just say, nope, God's going to fix it. When somebody comes up and says, well, God's not fixed it yet. Yeah, he has. He said he's going to fix it. I trust him to fix it. He's going to fix it. Now, don't come up to me about that. Even if he goes into surgery, don't worry about it. You're in the rest of God. He's got you in the hand. He's got Angie in his hands. He's got Amy in his hands. Don't worry about it. Now, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write the date down. And if you come back in here and want to be praying for
him, no, I won't. That's why I'm now.
But we're going to pray for Angie's nose one more time.
Okay.
In the name of Jesus right now, we command Angie's nose to be healed. and to be prettier than it was before. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for putting great and bold faith into Judy. That even when Angie says, well, Mom, it's not healed, Mom's going to say, yeah, it is. Because God said, and God's not a liar. And that's what we're going to believe. And you stand on it and you watch what happens. You'll wake up one morning, that thing will be just working perfect. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus right now, we break the curse of addiction of cigarettes off of Angie right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for placing it in her. Put them down in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. That's done deal. I believe it too. And okay. Not only that, Amy's coming in also big time.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. I believe it, Judy. I believe it with you. I hooked myself up with you and everybody else in here. And we're going to see a miracle in Angie's face. Glory to God. I believe it. Let's do something here. We got to pray for, Rion wants us to pray for Edwin and Andrea. They're supposed to have a party right there in front of his house, Halloween party. And they have prayed the prayer of faith that God's going to have a downpour to keep them from having that party, that Halloween party on Saturday night. And Lord, we hook our faith up with Theo and Lana and Edwin and Andrea. And Lord, we just command rain from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 2 o'clock the next day in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to disrupt Satan's attempt in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Matter of fact, Lord, I just declare and decree rain all over this country come the 31st. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, everywhere it is, from the East Coast to the West Coast, in Jesus' name, to stop Satan's attack on his children and on the people that they cursed, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, and glory to God, because you're going to get the glory. Things are going to just be postponed or canceled all across this nation. Because of you, Lord, and we praise you for it. If they've got a party going somewhere, Lord, we thank you for that. It's going to be a downpour, and the party is going to be canceled. And Satan will lose again. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Marilyn?
Yeah, I'd like to pray, too. Father, we thank you for that downpour in the natural, but I'm praying for a downpour in the spirit.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit here, Father, that there's going to be such conviction on these two, because they're yours and they love you and they're young in the Lord. And Lord, they're just starting to walk with you. And but loving Father, enlighten the eyes of their understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, and pour out a spirit of conviction upon them, that they're just going to know, they're going to be so uncomfortable because this is not well pleasing to you. And pour out a spirit of repentance on them, and just bless them, Lord. Just bless them. They're young in the Lord. You love them. Take them deep in the love of Jesus, and higher in the school of wisdom. And Lord, just bless them, meet their every need according to your riches and glory. And Lord, but give them an understanding that this is an opening of a door to darkness, and they're not going to want to have any part of it. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. I believe it, Lord, and I know it's going to happen. We're going to see a Holy Ghost revival come out of that area in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. Okay, Denny. Angelica, I'll get to you in just a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to pray for Nick, Vanita's son.
Okay.
I'm just sitting there, and I just feel like the Lord wants me to pray for Nick. Are you a believer?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, great. How old are you?
I'm 26.
26, okay. Well, I just feel like to pray for you. So, Father, we pray for Nick in the name of Jesus that you would just set him apart, Lord, unto yourself. Give him victory. Give him faith to believe, Lord, that the old man is dead and that he's alive in you, Lord Jesus. And give him that kind of faith, bold faith, Lord, to believe you and trust you. And set him apart, Lord, and make him a light shining among his friends. Father, we just pray you would give him some Christian friends, believers, that he would have fellowship with. We just lift them up to you, Father. We just have a blessing upon Nick, and we just thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Phil.
Amen. Thank you.
There's a verse. I can't remember off the top of my head that the Lord knows our requests before we ask and already has an answer prepared. Yeah, Yuri has a job, and I know he just said he got one. He said it's $10 an hour, but at least it's something that pays. I just texted him, and he's been looking for a long time, at least over a year, and just nothing. So, praise God.
He's already started, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right, that's awesome. That was a quick one. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Now, I want to pray for Angelica and Isaiah. She asked that God would grab hold of their minds and hearts so strong, and I'm praying this, that he would totally consume their hearts to live for him. The hunger level, Lord, will be at a point to where they'd want to run after him. And that, Lord, that you would give them forgiving hearts just like Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for blessing both of them. Blessing both of them with your mighty Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the power that brings us into that realm of knowing and wisdom. That when we open that word, Lord, that it would just, that you would just peel back the revelations like an onion. And not only that, Lord, that your love would go deep into their spirits in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Angelica, y'all raise your hands because God fixed to fill you up. In the name of Jesus right now, we thank you, Father, for filling them up with your Holy Spirit, with wisdom, love, trust. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, reassure them that they are yours and there's no turning back. And we praise you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of Satan that has lied to him in the past. Right now, in Jesus' name, we break your power, Satan, from hiding God's love from him in Jesus' name. Right now, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for what you're doing in Angelica and Isaiah in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Does everybody agree? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, for your powerful Holy Spirit that has filled them both up, Lord. So much so, Lord, that they want to get out somewhere and slosh it on somebody around them. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Oh, my. Ooh, that was a good one. I felt the Spirit all in me that time. Not that you have to. Don't get me wrong. Not that you have to feel anything. We just know, don't we? We just know. Okay. All right, Pat, quick one. We got a special guest tonight.
Okay. I just felt the need to just to read this quick scripture then real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
And this is for Angelica. It was in Ezekiel 36, 20, 22. I will pour out my spirit on you. The Lord talking about Israel and returning them and bringing them back. Obviously, the connection for us. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I do this not for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name, which ye have profaned among the nations. And obviously our country has profaned the name of Christ among the nations and from where we're at right now, wherever you went. But I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. I will take from among the nations and gather you out of the countries, and I'll bring you into your own land, your own land of promise, the promised land. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, that unleavened bread that we're all studying and looking and reading and absorbing and taking in the word of Christ. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. And a new heart also, a new heart. We're all looking for that new heart. And not this old one that we've been kicking around and pushing and trying to control and overpower and this and that. No, we want a new heart. And he says, a new heart also will I give you, a new heart, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away, and this is the part that he has been showing me lately, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. He's taken a heart of flesh out of us and given us a heart of flesh. Obviously, he's taking the old man out, taking him out, and putting a new man in there. The new man of Christ within us, our ability to yield and trust and yield ourselves over to him and allow him to do the work. And I will give you a new heart of flesh, and then I will put my spirit within you, that rain that has been requested. Missy has requested, or I don't remember who actually. My spirit will within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. His spirit, which overwhelms us in his presence, motivates overwhelmingly us to walk in his statutes comfortably and peacefully and rest in them. And you shall keep mine ordinances and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give your fathers, and I will save you from all your uncleanness. And I'm going to jump all the way down there, that when this happens, in that day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause cities to be inhabited. Those waste places that are out there are going to start being built. And those things that we are looking out there and seeing the destruction, things are going to start building because we have the building tools that we've been given now, the Spirit of the Lord and the truth of his word, which builds the foundations, goes right back down to the foundations and builds the house of righteousness on that. And when you have the good foundations of the truth of his word and the Holy Spirit to guide you through that, your house will automatically be built straight and plumb up there. And at the very end, in verse 37, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, for this, moreover, will I be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them like men with a flock." So Angelica has asked, she has inquired, she has sought the Lord, she has asked him to do this, and I join with her because I want this to happen within myself as well. So I praise you, Father. I thank you for hearing our prayers. I thank you for pouring out the rain upon us, Lord, not because we are intrinsically good in ourselves, but by your holy grace in our lives, that you want to pour out your life within us, put a new heart within us to follow you and walk in your ways and cooperate with you in doing your work in this earth today. And we just trust you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for the filling. Just fill us and let there be light. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Pat, you sounded like you did that with authority, brother. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Is that Claire? Claire made it. All right. Well, all right. What was that you told me this afternoon? Toodaloo or something like that. I don't know what that was. That's too girlified for me. All right. Let's see here. We have a special guest with us straight from Hollywood, and it's straight from Nebraska. Actually, straight from right down the road. Greg Moser, he had a dream, and I'd like for him to relate. I know he couldn't remember a whole lot about it, but the special thing is what I want you to listen to. Go ahead, Greg. You got it, brother. This is Gaynor's son. Well, I think most of you know him anyway.
Oh, boy, I feel like that big intro is going to be... just like Michael said, I had this dream. Actually, I had this dream a few years ago, but I was just sharing it the other day. And it really had an impact on me. And I can't remember most of the details, but I remember the experience of it. And it was simply this. In this dream, and I know it lasted quite a while, but I was given the experience of experiencing what it was like to operate in just complete, total, unhindered faith. Just in whatever I was doing, wherever I was going, whatever I was speaking in the dream, it was so easy. It was so effortless. There was nothing hindering. There was no unbelief. There was no fear of any kind. I mean, it was wonderful. And I have often thought about that dream. And I wish I could tell you more about what was actually done there, because it was really incredible. But just the amazing feeling of how that feels to operate in that faith was amazing to me. And I know that that's what the Lord is doing in us. He's establishing our hearts through his word, by his grace. He's putting it in there bit by bit. And as we stand on those things, as we walk it out, you know, in the trenches of life and believe it, we speak it. He's growing us up in those areas. And, I mean, that's really it.
what was the way you explained it the other day? What was the feeling you had? Was complete trust in the Lord to answer your prayer? Is that what?
It was. And, you know, actually, Theo, you hit on it earlier when you mentioned that scripture. I have that written down here in my notes. And that actually is in Isaiah 65:24, at least the one that I'm thinking of. Let me just read that real quick.
Yeah.
It says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And so there's that one. There's all these other ones in the New, you know, that talk about, you know, Matthew 11:23-24, you know, says, you know, basically what you have asked for, believe that you have received it already, and you shall have it. You know, Matthew 9:29 says, be it unto you according to your faith. You know, and when you start putting all of those scriptures together that are like that and come at that subject from all these different directions, you know, it really paints this very broad picture of, you know, really complete of what that is to stand in faith like that. I mean, we're literally standing on solid ground in an otherwise, you know, shaky environment. I mean, we're a fluid situation. We're standing on solid ground. We're standing on the rock of the truth. Yeah. And sure thing. It's like it's a sure thing. You know it's done. You know it's done. And that's the way the dream was. It was just like I'm speaking right now. If I were to tell you what I'm seeing in the room, looking at this shelf with the books on it, you know, it was as clear as that. But that's how it was to stand on anything that I was believing for in faith. It was just that matter of fact. And there was no shade of turning. There was no, you know, unbelief or fear of it not happening. It just did. And it was, I should say it was. So I wanted to share a couple of things too, just as everyone was praying for their loved ones and all the different issues. I'm a kind of a mind picture guy. I have all these different little things that life has kind of shown me, or, you know, just little analogies that kind of help me to see things clearer sometimes. And one of the things I was seeing was, you know, as we're here, I'm seeing all your faces on the screen, and it reminds me of, you know, the story of Hezekiah when he brought before the Lord. He laid out before the Lord what was happening. You know, the attackers were coming, the invaders had come, and they were saying all these things, and you know, just really declaring what they were going to do. But what he did was he humbled himself and he went before the Lord and he laid it all out there and he just said, hey, I can't handle this. I need your help. And he laid it out there before him, and the Lord dealt with that issue. You know, and I just see that that's what we're doing when we come together and we're praying for our loved ones, for the issues of the day, whatever's going on. You know, we're bringing our agreement together, and that's powerful. But one of the pictures that I saw with that is I've got a couple of brother-in-laws that they like to get on video games, but they get on like group video games, and they play, you know, with people across the country, and they, you know, they do this thing where they're going to war inside a video game. They're either they're fighting against each other or they're working with each other. It depends on what they're doing. But I just see, like, spiritually speaking, that's exactly what we're doing right here. We don't even need, you know, to be on a screen here to be doing that. But in the spirit, that's what we're doing. You know, and as the Lord, you know, gives, you know, he's the one that puts the prayers on our hearts. He's the one that downloads the things that he wants to be shared and or prayed about and coming, you know, declaring and rebuking and just all these things. And then when we do that, then we all come into agreement. And man, in the spirit realm, things are happening. Things are happening. The other thing I was thinking about was, I don't know if everyone is familiar with John Ramirez. I've brought this up different times with different people, but he is he's a man who used to be a satanic, I think he was like really high up as a sorcerer. He was one of their highest ones in New York City. And his testimony is pretty awesome. And eventually he went to the, joined up with David Wilkerson and his ministry in New York City. But his testimony is really awesome in the way that he has a unique perspective of the demonic realm, the spiritual realm, I should say, because he's seen all of it. And but he goes on to describe how in the back in the day, you know, he and his people would get together and they would go to put curses on parts of the city or on people, or, you know, they would just do a lot of mischief behind the scenes in the spirit realm. He talks about astral projecting into people's houses and businesses and putting curses on people and things like that. But one of the things that he noticed was that whenever he encountered an area that he absolutely knew without a shadow of a doubt, there were believing Christians on the ground praying for that city block or for that area or for those people. He couldn't touch those people. In the spirit, he would see different things. He would see a wall of fire around these people groups or these places. He would see some sort of an impenetrable ceiling that he could not, no matter what he did, he couldn't get through it. And he actually had to go, he would meet with Satan, much like we meet with the Lord. He would meet with Satan. And Satan had told him not to go against certain people because he wasn't able to defeat them. And he didn't listen. He wouldn't listen to him at first. But then later on, he got the message. He understood that, wow, my God is not as powerful as their God. And so I just wanted to mention that for anybody who maybe hadn't heard of that before. When I heard about, you know, his testimonies, it really, like I say, I'm a visual person, but you know, in the spirit realm, I can see that happening. And I can see that when we're praying for these situations and our loved ones, things are happening behind the scenes, and we are binding things. We are casting things down, literally destroying the gates of hell with our faith. And I would just like to pray that I would like to pray for all of us, according to the dream that the Lord gave me here. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for just this awesome honor of working with you and co-laboring with you. You're doing so many things simultaneously. We can't even fathom how it all fits together. And the beauty of it is we don't have to, because you've got it all worked out. You give us what we need when we need it. You bind our hearts together. You put a prayer into someone's hearts, and then we all come into agreement on it. And you give us the grace to walk it out, to stand on faith, in the words that you have given us, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, just to magnify that in our hearts, Lord. Give us your grace to believe, Lord. Cause us to be bold as lions when we go before you with prayer, to believe that in fact what we have declared has been done. It's already been done. What we've asked for has been done. And that we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to strive and struggle and be anxious about it, but we just enter the rest. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that even no matter who we are in the physical, it doesn't matter, because in the spirit we are giants when we're on your side and when we have you at our right hand. We thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Anybody else want to pray with you? I believe it, Lord. I believe everything that Greg prayed is happening right now in Jesus' name, in the spirit realm. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'll tell you what, Lord, we ask. You said to ask, to seek, and to knock. I ask that you show each one of us a spiritual aspect of this war that's going on and the winning side of it, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Ooh, my. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
Can I just add something to to Greg, just to his thought there, because I remember when I, way back before I came through to the Lord, I kind of came through the Eastern mysticism, transcendental meditation type of scenario. And I remember, and I met a Christian girl and got, she gave me a Bible. Matter of fact, she gave me a New American Standard, you know. And when I joined a denomination, I got a King James Version because that was the only version to get, type thing. But anyway, that's a little side tangent there. But the thing of it is, she must have been, I'm sure that she was praying for me or whatever. She obviously saw these things, but I was going full force into that. And I went to, and I think I've shared this before, but I went into a weekend retreat type of thing. And this is when I lived in Oregon, and decided to, they were promoting these. We'd have weekly meetings where we go in and, you know, meditate or whatever it was. And we went in, and so they were kind of advertising this, this thing that was happening in those days of promoting these superhuman powers type of thing. And so I got interested in that and whatever, and kind of went into that direction. So you had to go into a weekend retreat where you went and, you know, meditated 2 or 3 times a day and ate yogurt and nuts and all that sort of stuff, which I just really, wasn't in my DNA anyway. But anyway, but the thing of it is, then they'd have these presentations and they'd have certain people speak and whatever. And they, and the Lord, when I was in there, opened up my eyes to some very subtle little deceptions. And it was kind of like Greg said, he kind of got the concept, oh, you mean, this God is bigger than this God, this guy here that I'm following. He can't, he's already defeated. I mean, he can't penetrate this. What's the deal there? That little subtle lie that Satan's whole supporting structure was on, that little lie got wedged in there and revealed as a lie, and that whole thing crumbled to the ground. And it happened to me when I was in this retreat, and then of course I was listening to these promotional, sales pitches is what I call them right now. And then I remember the first thing that happened, I was taking a shower in one of these big communal type of showers. And one of these superhuman teachers were on the other side of the wall, over on the other side, taking a shower. And I was shaving at the time. And there was no mirrors in this place, a very rustic, type of environment. And so I was shaving without a mirror. And this, the guy across the, on the other side of the wall, he said, "Are you shaving?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I would be slicing my face all up if I didn't have a mirror." And the thought that came into me was, this guy is so superhuman and he can't even shave without looking in a mirror. So, and it was that little subtle thing that the foundations of that whole deception started faltering. And then I was listening to the Maharishi, speak about this. This whole meditation thing, and all through his presentation, he was comparing what they did in this process to Christians. Every he would say, now we believe in such and such and such, but Christians believe in this. And four or five examples of that. And I thought, what is he comparing himself to Christians? Why is there the comparison to Christians? And that was another little thing that kind of shook the foundations. And then at the very last night, they put on the salespeople that really were going to bring it home and get some of these people involved in whatever. And so I, in my subtle, normal self, raised my hand. And I said, well, how much does it cost? And I could see them doing the old rope-a-dope, hubba-da-hubba-da, and moved on to another thing and explaining a little bit more about this and that. And I raised my hand again. They called on me. I said, but how much does this cost? And I got the old hubba-da-hubba-da-hubba-da routine again. And that was the final thing that in me that hit. And I thought, wait a minute. This guy's a car salesman. What is this? This is deception. Now, I didn't understand it at the time, but you know what? I left that meeting that day and I never meditated again, so to speak. And then obviously, and the Lord led me to him through his word, and I won't get into that whole process. But that was the destruction, the subtle destruction of that large mountain of lies that Satan amasses in our mind. And it only takes a few strategic truths to jog that foundation and put the cracks in there. So the only reason I say that is just to be encouraged that these subtle little things, we get used to them all the time and we're using them, we're always moving on and trying to get to the next thing. But those little subtle things thrown, when the Lord says to throw that thing out there, you can be guaranteed he doesn't say to do that because he doesn't mean something to happen. Something's happening whether you see it or not. So I just wanted to throw that out as we're talking. Thanks.
Okay. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Go ahead, call in user Malcolm.
Hey, hi everybody. Hey, I just kind of praise God for last night. We have a horse that stepped on a rusty nail, and it went up very close to a very dangerous area in the hoof, which normally, if that part gets infected, they put the horse down. So last night I was soaking the hoof in Epsom salt solution in a rubber bucket, and she's very dependent on another horse, and I've been believing for this horse because she has poor eyesight, especially at night. I mean, no, she doesn't have poor eyesight. She has perfect eyesight. How's that? That's what I'm believing for. I don't want to speak the curse. So anyway, but last night she got, I didn't realize it, but the other horse had taken off to get some hay somewhere else. And this horse is penned in, but I had it tied up, and I was kneeling her, sitting on a little stool right next to, like a milking stool, right next to her hoof, soaking it. And all of a sudden she jumped, and I think she jumped over me, but everything happened so fast, I'm not sure what happened. But the Epsom salt solution went flying, the bucket went flying, and the seat I was sitting on went flying. And whatever happened, I didn't get hurt at all.
Praise the Lord.
I don't know if she jumped over me or everything happened so fast, I don't know exactly what happened. But I just finished doing the same thing just now, and the Lord protected me. So I'm just grateful for God's protection.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. So thank you, Father.
I've had the phone in my pocket. I've missed a little bit. And because when I'm bending around, it like it turn the volume all the way down without my being able to get to it. So I'm sorry if I missed some stuff just recently, but I just wanted to say something else that you may have already brought up, but I don't know if folks have heard about the Tucker Carlson program a couple nights ago, where he talked to this guy who worked with Hunter Biden. It was the most watched thing on Fox News ever. Huge viewership on that 1 hour program. And they asked for there's some documents that came in that needed to be sent across the country to LA for Tucker Carlson was. UPS is probably a lot of you have already heard this already, but somewhere along the way, one of the employees discovered that this container with all these very damning documents was completely empty. Somebody had opened it and taken the contents out, and it was gone. So it was a huge deal. And I was just praying that this, you know, corruption be exposed in the government, in the church first, but also in the government. And so today, UPS announced that they had discovered the contents. And I don't know what they're not going to tell the details, especially if it was an employee. But of course, they had taken out huge insurance on that package. So UPS had stood to lose a lot of money if they couldn't produce what was in there. So I'm sure there was some pressure brought to bear on the employees. Anyway, I've just been thanking God that he's, that he's exposing corruption, that he's got his hand. And I've been praying for protection for, I think all of us have been, protection for people that are coming forward and trying to let the truth be known. Very, very dangerous time we're in. But the Lord's, as we know, the Lord's in charge, and he's the one, you know, orchestrating things, and judgment is coming. We, you know, the country it really deserves judgment, and has for a long, long time. But of course, we're praying that this war be averted. That's my understanding, is that the war that's the Lord threatened us with on November 3rd, that it be averted. Is that what we're praying for with this fast, Michael?
Yeah. Yeah, we're praying for the faction to be dispersed on both the national and the church level.
And the church, yes. Yeah. Praise God. Let me just say this. I've been listening again. I keep listening to the story of Abraham. I've got this horse kind of they're all bugging me because they're hungry. So I've got horses pushing me around. But in listening to Abraham's story, I was, the Lord keeps telling Abraham that he's going to give him, you know, a child, and it's going to be a huge lineage, and all this stuff is going to happen, and the whole world's going to be blessed by this child. And Abraham says, well, my servant, he'll be my heir. And the Lord says, no. And then Sarah makes arrangements with, you know, for Hagar, and it's just one thing after another. And then, not until later in life, until Isaac shows up, and this huge miracle, and so they have, Sarah has this baby, miracle baby. You know, it really got me. I was taking a shower and I was listening to the story, and what I thought about this, and it really overwhelmed me, and I thought, God he asked Abraham to take Isaac up and offer him. And I thought, we've all heard the story so many times and read it and whatnot and meditated on it, but I thought, now hold it. There's no way, if God asked me to do something like that, how in the world could I ever go through the steps it would take to, you know, make arrangements with your servants, you know, go several days journey, and then the mountains in the distance that the Lord told you of, and you're, you know, you're you're telling your servants to stay put, you know, and I and my son are going to go on. And I mean, you just think about all the steps that it took. And Abraham just plowed right through somehow. And I thought, I cannot see myself being obedient to the Lord in that request. I mean, it's just overwhelming. And I thought, well, what about my son? Could I do that with my son? and I thought, you know, this is just beyond the pale. Anyway, so finally, what you know, the way I kind of ended up was I was just thinking, well, the whole point of this was, first of all, to show Abraham's faithfulness to the Lord and willing to give up anything in obedience. And secondly, God was showing what, as we, you know, I'm just going over the stuff we all know, but secondly, God's showing what the Father, He the Father and Jesus had to go through, and they knew about this for millenniums before it happened. So they were stuck with a knowledge of Jesus' future all those years, and I just can't imagine. And we, you know, for us, we're sensitive people. We're sensitive to things like that. And think about God, who has who knows how much sensitivity, and the agony that God the Father and Jesus went through, especially the Father, knowing that this was coming. I just, it just bowled me over. I thought, man, this is wild that God went through all that for, and when I was a kid or a teenager in Singapore, as I've mentioned before, God, you know, Jesus, the Lord made it very clear to me that I, when Jesus was going to the cross and on the cross, he was thinking specifically of me. I mean, that was the overwhelming thought for me. So, and I thought, Lord, I want that sense again that you did it for me. And I want to live in that reality that, and I want to have the kind of devotion and a response back to God that's appropriate in that kind of situation where I'm so sold out to the Lord that there's nothing anywhere in the world that could ever stop me from being devoted to Jesus, being obedient to him and doing whatever. And, you know, the other thing is all the stuff we know, all this stuff is coming and we want to be on the right. We want to be with God. And I was just telling the Lord, I want to be walking with God. I want to be so tight with him during this whole time, even though he's doing very difficult things that he's prophesied, where millions and millions of people will die. I want to be on the same page with him and working with him and cooperating with him and doing what he needs done at the time. So anyway, how's that for a little spiel there?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Me too, Lord.
Amen.
Me too, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Andrew.
I've been struggling a little bit with that we're all different individuals, and yet we all have Christ within us. And just I just want to know how that works, you know, because I'm not Greg, I'm not Michael, I'm Andrew, and you know, just from what he just said, you know, like how do you get your individuality out of what is in Christ, you know? Like I know, like, we're all like, the only thing I can compare it to is that you're all like different flavors of people that the Lord wants to spend an eternity with. And I just don't understand that concept of how you can be an individual and yet still be in Christ and in the Holy Spirit at the same time. Maybe that's something we're struggling with. I don't know. I forget the verse, but he doesn't take your individuality away. He gives you a new life, though, and each one has it in a different experience with it, I think. That's maybe I'm answering my own question. I don't know. And maybe it's this individuality that might be hindering us, because we think we're supposed to be just exactly like him, you know, in every single fashion and way, which we would desire to have, but we still have that identity of our own. So I don't know if I'm just out on left field here somewhere, but
go ahead, Andrew.
As for the dream that he had, I had a dream or something a long time ago. Like I was in this dream where I was sleeping, and it was like just a flush of water just cleansing my entire, and it was so exhilarating that I went, this is what it must be when you're almost there. And I can't even describe what it was like. And so it brought that back to memory for me anyway, for that experience I had. But again, it's this individuality that, and what is this individuality? Like, you know, I sometimes like to compare it, you know, to all these different foods that a person would like to taste. I know we're on a fast now, but the way some people like describe the taste of food, they can go into such great detail on it. But I don't want to get into kitchen food here. I want to get into the Lord here. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I want his savor there, his flavor, his sense, his smell even, and the tantalizing taste of this trust in the Lord. You know, everyone can relate to food, especially now, and just how much you want to have that Lord's taste in you, to have that savor, the anxiety of it, how it's in, not on just on your tongue, but on your palate to have that anyway. So I'm still back to the individuality and the Christ-likeness on how we're all different, but how we all are the same. You know, if we were all just like robots, it wouldn't be any exciting even for the Father. So I don't know if we should have a discussion about this or if this is something that makes people think. There was a verse there. I'm trying to remember it. It was said a few times in the studies, and I just can't remember where the verse is. But when I get it, I'll try and say it. But sorry, Michael, for interrupting you. I had to get that out.
Oh, I agree. Well, what came to my mind is that we're all the body of Christ, right? We're all different parts of the body, and different parts of the body do different things. And so, as far as the individuality, I think that kind of plays into that part of it. That's just my take on it.
That's 1 Corinthians 12, I think.
Could be. I don't remember.
The eyes can't say because they're not hands, and
yeah.
The yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think Malcolm's got the answer to everything. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I know everything. Just ask me.
I'm scared to, brother.
Oh, dear. Yeah, what arrogance. I just want to go back to what the Lord told me in Singapore. At the time, I didn't understand a lot of things. But it was, when I think about it, it was just a direct revelation from the Lord. And going back to Abraham, the Bible says that he was the friend of God. And, of course, God reiterated that over and over. And I like the way Abraham negotiated with God over the situation with his brother. By the way, I was thinking about that, too, because I've been listening to the story several times. Abraham negotiated with God down to 10 people. It was a kind of an agonizing process for Abraham because he felt like he was pushing his limits over and over and over. But he was obviously getting concerned that there, 50 people wasn't going to cut it, or 45 or 40 and so on. But he only negotiated to 10 people. And if you look at the narrative after that, obviously, it's hard to even think of Lot being righteous, much less his daughters, for pity's sake, and his wife. Oh, my. So anyway, but the Lord understood what Abraham wanted, even though he didn't negotiate far enough. And he still did what Abraham wanted in his heart, and that was for Lot to be, protected in this judgment. And it speaks to me so much of what. Anyway, this is an aside because I want to address what Matthew was saying. This revelation that God put on my heart was that He died specifically for me, and He did it because He wanted that relationship with me, and that was it was incredibly personal. I mean, if God speaks to your heart, and I hope all of us either have been through that or can look forward to that. And that is that it's revealed to us so overwhelmingly that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God wants to be our friend. And that's why Jesus came and died for us, so that we could be with God and everything that goes with that. And He wants that personality that He's given us, that's been developed over, all these years as we go through things. I look at my wife and other people, that people have different senses of humor, and there's just unique things about all of us that can never be replicated in somebody else. It's something God wants, that friendship with us and our personality. And I think, and that's what I think the story of Abraham kind of bears that out, is that, Abraham wasn't just a robot. He was a friend of the Lord, and they had an incredible relationship. So I think the personality thing is what God is wanting as well, not just our perfection, but of course, perfection is part of that, because if we're going to live with Him, we've got to be cleaned up, obviously. So, okay, I guess that's it.
Yeah, you're almost run out of that, plumb out of time.
Uh-oh.
That's okay.
The moon is almost full here. We won't
knock you till next week.
God willing, with all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
Malcolm?
Yeah.
Did you ever look up your name?
Why?
To see what it means?
Yeah.
I've seen some of it. I know our house, when we lived in Portland, we lived on 144. That was our house number. So I put...
What's that got to do with your name?
Okay. That's part of me,
144.
Well, your name, I looked it up, and the root from it in Hebrew That's just, it's M-A-E-L, male, but it's Malcolm, and then the root of it means disciple.
Well, he sure wanted to hear about that.
Yeah, but that's awesome to me. That
you say
your
despiteful?
Name means disciple.
No, it-
your name means disciple.
Oh, to stifle.
Michael is a mathetes, a learner and a follower.
Yeah, okay. Disciple. I thought she said spiteful.
No, disciple.
Well, any spitefulness I renounce right now.
And it made me think about what you had said earlier, that you wanted to be so strong with the Lord that you just, that nothing else matters. And that's the way the disciples were.
Wow.
So I just thought I wanted to tell you that so you'd be blessed.
Well, thank you. I'll have to look it up. I have heard them talking about Milcom, who's one of the gods. And I don't want any association with that.
No. God.
I mean.
Thank you. I'll look it up.
Look under Hebrew.
Well, Milcom's Hebrew.
Okay. I did want to say hello to William. Where'd he go? Did he just leave?
He's still there, Louise and William.
Oh, okay. Hi, William.
How are you? Hello, everyone. I'm glad to see everyone is good and well.
Yeah. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you. I wanted to send an email. A lot of things has been going on here. But we are still swimming strong, thank you.
Amen. Everything okay?
Yeah, no, everything is okay. Well, if we're through, I think we should have a meeting titled, What Did I Learn Out of the Coronavirus?
Well, okay. We'll have that some other time.
Yeah, like, what did the coronavirus teach us? And then there'll be a few good topics. What not to do for the next a bubonic plague?
Are y'all still in lockdown?
There's not really a lockdown anymore. No.
Okay. I know in some of the areas in the United States, they're starting to lock them down again. California, for one. Yeah, crazy bunch of liberals. But anyway. Yeah, Vanita.
Michael, let me just say something real quick.
Well, raise your hand. Vanita, go ahead.
I can't. I'm on the phone. So I just have to, let me just describe this situation here. It's gotten fairly dark, but it's just kind of, the sky's, it's just absolutely gorgeous. The sky's a little bit of light from, you know, the evening, but the stars are out and there's almost full moon coming down through the pine trees. It's just absolutely surreal.
Awesome. That sounds good, man. You got a full moon?
It looks like a full moon, but it's like almost there, not quite.
Okay. All right. Well, praise God. Go ahead, Vanita.
I just I have a whole bunch of questions, and I didn't know if Dave, I could get your phone number maybe, or call you or talk to somehow and ask you some of these questions.
VR549.
We've got a conference call on Saturday night. If you want to come on that, you can ask all the questions you want too.
Okay.
I'll have
Dave, email her. Don't not on the recording.
Right. Go ahead and if you want to send her, does Michael got your email?
Yeah, I got her email. I'll send it to
you. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Right ahead.
Where is William from?
What's that?
Where is William calling from?
He's calling from South Africa.
Oh.
Pretoria.
Yeah, we've got South Africa, we've got Canada, we've got Australia.
Brazil,
United States.
Got California, Brazil, got Tennessee, one. Got Missouri.
California's all by itself, yeah.
Got PA up there, it's burning down.
Once in a while, we got New Zealand on here.
All right, let me get, Lord, we just thank you for an awesome time tonight. Lord, we thank you for just taking this meeting over and doing what you wanted to do. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. That's the way we want it every time we come together, as you lead us, guide us, and speak through us, Lord. And we thank you for it. You are wonderful, loving God. And we thank you, Lord, that every prayer that we prayed tonight was answered. And that everybody here believes that every prayer was spoken in trust of you, Lord, because we know when we pray, the prayers are answered. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight, Lord. Wake us up in the morning supercharged. And we just bound out of bed, say, praise God for this day. And Lord, just go to doing the things that you want us to do. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, all right. Good night, y'all.